heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Sides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the
a song that you might recall, dependent upon your generation you were born, but it's a song that is put in the footprint of America, and it is what the world needs now is love, and that was sung from Jackie DeShannon, sang the original song of that, by the way, and the music was composed by Burt Bacharach, and the lyrics by Hal David. Amazing song that became part of our history, really. What the world needs now is love, 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 right? We all know that song. I mean, it's amazing. And so that's kind of my theme here as we do this together here on The Voice of a Nation here. And I want to start that now in the conversation with Dr. Jay Lehr. And let me remind you, Dr. Jay is a senior policy analyst with the International Climate Science Coalition, former science director of the Heartland Institute. He is a great voice and a weekly columnist here at America Out Loud. And I wanted to start with Dr. Jay because typically I find him a voice of hope and a voice of optimism, typically. And these are, challenging times for a lot of people. And I think a lot of my listeners are asking, like, how can we get over this psychologically? What can we do, Malcolm? Welcome to the program here. And let me ask you that big thing. We talk about hope. And so let me take it from there and ask you, we've been through challenging times before as a nation and as a people. How is this different right now, Jay, than other perilous times we've been through as a nation?
Well, actually, Malcolm, I lived through World War II, and it's very similar to World War II. We were attacked by the Japanese. The government mobilized our entire nation to take up arms and fight a war on two fronts, and we came out of it as a stronger and better nation. I'm totally convinced that this coronavirus, a war we are clearly fighting, is going to have the very same effect. I mean, while clearly economically it might take us well over 3 years to climb out of it, we're going to be a so much stronger nation from a standpoint, you know, medically, we'll be prepared for the next pandemic, and there may well be one. But better than that, we'll be ultimately stronger than economically, because every manufacturing company in America that today depends on parts made in China are going to bring that manufacturing back to America and not be held up short as everybody has been in these current months. We're not going to trust China as we have in the past. They are truly an evil nation. We're going to know that we can band together and fight things in a shortest period of time. We're going to find out how much we care about each other as we're forced into our homes and we're forced to give up so many things and help so many different people. Our great devotion to the the responders that are putting their lives on the line in this pandemic. It's just amazing what we are seeing here. And while clearly we're going to suffer economically for a period of time, when this is really over, we're going to stand stronger and taller than ever before.
Yeah. You know, the short-term pain will pay off for the longer-term good is what you're saying there, Jay, huh?
There is no question about it. There have been, in my 83 and a half years of life, I have rarely been unable to find a silver lining in anything that was not a tragedy. Obviously, the loss of life is the worst part of it. But for all of the rest, there really is a silver lining, and we're experiencing every day. And if people can get by all the bad news that the media feeds out and look into the stories about the heroes in this entire operation, and I consider our president a hero. He has mobilized an administration in a short period of time to present the very best face to this horrible war that we're fighting. So there is so much good news to pull out of it. And as it ends, we'll all begin to see this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, listen, out of fear and out of those dark clouds, really, truly, Jay, there's always some sunshine that comes from it. And, you know, if we're going to fight and challenge against the status quo, Jay, you know, here's a great point. I was talking earlier on my other hour for our four-year anniversary program about collectivism and about, you know, the fact that they have been pushing this socialist narrative now for some time. And I gave some examples on some fairy tales to folks. And of course, you talk about this all the time. You write about it. So you understand what they're up to with this socialism kind of thing. And actually was pointed out the other day that if you like what you're seeing now, where you're, reliant on Big Brother, you're reliant on Uncle Sam, you're reliant on the government, in other words, a lot of the service industry and a lot of the people who you know, live for the next paycheck, and many of them in the service industry, is a good part of our population, actually, the gig economy. And those people in the gig economy, it's a fact of life. The Uber drivers, the servers, the, you know, all of these kinds of things, the salons, the on and on and on. Those people are struggling right now. And here's the message, I think, Jay, as you say, well, how do we get hope out of all of this? Well, if you like what you have right now, where you are reliant on big government for that check or whatever that they're trying to bring out to people, you know, and if you like the fact that things are being rationed in stores and you've got long lines and you can't buy a roll of toilet paper and things, very simplistic things, which, by the way, is in everyday life in Venezuela. You can't buy toilet paper in Venezuela either, period. I have friends down there. I know. And so if you like this way right now, what's happening, you're going to love collectivism, socialism, Jay. What would you say to that?
Well, nobody loves what's going on now. The people that are being helped out by the government, that things are being rationed, no sensible American likes that. And on the other side of the coin, it's the free market capitalism that has really come to the rescue of America. This is being done voluntarily. Every day the president brings up the heads of major industries that are turning themselves inside out to make their productivity help to get rid of this pandemic by supplying all kinds of medical supplies. This has not been done by force. Only one company, GM, was asked in a somewhat heavy-handed way to make ventilators in place of some cars. No one else needed to be told what to do. It's been the free market that has come to the rescue. And the people that are happily going to be getting some checks to make up for their paychecks lost, they will the opposite. They'll recognize it's nice to have a government that can help them, but it isn't nice to have to be helped every day of your life.
On a regular basis, right.
They want to go back to their jobs desperately.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that is a really good point, Jay, and that's exactly it. I mean, these are special circumstances. We would agree with that, but to make this, my point was, if you want this is your everyday life, then you're going to love socialism, because what's happening right now is an everyday program in Venezuela. I mean, it's how they live. It's all they know, because that's, it never used to, it wasn't always that way there, but it is now. And that's how they've been brainwashed there. And so on a bigger message, Jay, this is a hell of a wake-up call, isn't it? Back to the silver lining of what we're talking about and giving hope to people. Maybe this is the case to put it to rest now, for folks to see that capitalism is the way forward. It is not, in fact, quite frankly, a lot of the powers to be on the other side of the aisle were pushing the president to put that Defense Act into play and to put the national emergency and start to act like a dictator and tell everybody what to do, how to do it, and where to do it, and what avenue to get off. And the president said, I am not going to do that. Now, here's a man, Jay, I'm going to say to you, that they have pictured, and they have drawn cartoons of this president as being their favorite dictator of the moment. They have accused him of being a king and a dictator and ruling of all the people. But at the first moment of crises, of a national catastrophe such as this, isn't it funny or sad that those same people who were griping and bitching against the system and the president and threatening that he was all of that are the ones pushing and imploring the president to pull the lever of dictatorship over the American people, and the president refused to do it?
Malcolm, the Democratic Party today is a socialist party. There is no question about it. And the people we need to re-educate are the young people coming out of high school. They have learned that socialism is okay. They're now getting their comeuppance and really finding out what needs to be done and why capitalism is what is going to save us in this new war against the virus.
Yeah. Listen, you've been a fabulous contributor here and a passionate writer. Your pieces, you along with Tom Harris with the International Science Coalition, and also the work you've done and as a commentator as well. Take a moment and tell folks, as we are dealing with a fourth estate that is absent and we are under siege of propaganda, let's talk about the importance of a free press and free speech, but the importance of this network and platform, America Out Loud, please.
Well, it's been an honor for me to participate for the past year with America Out Loud, with Malcolm Out Loud, and it's what remains of the free state. There is no free state media anymore. It's gone. It is an arm of the Democratic Party. It is entirely a socialist group altogether. And it's organizations like yours, Malcolm Out Loud, that has reinvented the media, the free state, the interchange of ideas. I don't know where we would be without you and others like you doing similar work on the internet. And while the internet and social media has a very bad side, it also has a very good side, and you are leading that battle at the top of the good side. And again, Malcolm, it has just been such an honor for me to have my voice heard vocally with you on a regular basis, and more important, the articles that I write every week that are on your platform, that I try to be the objective and free speech science person on your group.
And you do it so well. Friends, you're listening there to the voice of Dr. Jay Lehrer, certainly a friend and a passion unlike the kind you've probably seen in some time. It is a privilege here to have Dr. Jay part of this. He is an absolute friend and a passionate man, as you hear always when he's on here. You know, Dr. Jay talks there in some kind words about the movement and the platform, but I want you to know as well, what he says there, I get goosebumps, of course. It is my drug of choice when he says the things he just says, and the work we're doing is really my drug of choice. It is what gets me up in the morning. It's exciting to me. So when people think I'm on something, I am on something. I'm on optimism. I'm high on life. I'm high on hope. I'm high on love. I'm high on all the things I talk to all of you about on a daily basis, of course. You know, listen, we're not living in a fairy tale. We also hold people accountable. The truth is the truth. The out loud truth is what it is that we're after here. Always as ladies and gentlemen, but truthful to the point of what needs to be said. Sometimes the truth can hurt people. Well, you know, it does, doesn't it now? As we continue on here, friends, with the four-year anniversary here of America Out Loud, bring on a special gentleman now, just next in a moment here, who was here from day one. And we'll talk about fear. And this he'll join me in just a moment on the other side of this pause.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Okay, so today it is a program all about four-letter words, I tell you, but they are hope, fear, and love. And three words that I think play to this moment of time where, again, a lot of people, as I've encouraged you, we've got to replace fear with faith. We've got to have faith that we can use this moment of time, as you was just listening a moment ago to Dr. Jay Lair, and you were just hearing him put out the hope of, yeah, it's a pandemic. Yeah, we're dealing with a bad virus from China, but think about the positives that can come out of that and the silver lining. And he pointed them out in that segment of that conversation we just had. You know, one of the things psychologically that people are dealing with is keeping the peace. And they're dealing with something they haven't seen before. When you have a national shutdown, you've got businesses that are locked up, people that are in homes, National Guard is out in different cases. And so there's a lot of fear out there, people, a lot of fear. And I want to bring on now and talk about that from a law enforcement perspective, because, again, as I've been preaching to you and as Randy has been preaching to you, too, on Blue Lives Radio, I mean, this is why we need to respect always the rule of law and why law enforcement is so vital in America's history. So let me tell you again, Lieutenant Randy Sutton is a 34-year law enforcement veteran. He's retired from the Las Vegas Police Department. Now, he's host here of Blue Lives Radio on America Out Loud. He actually was here day one with me when we founded the network, so I'm privileged to have Randy on with me today and part of this, believe me. But even with that, he never stops thinking. He thinks when he's sleeping. Sometimes they're dreams and sometimes they're nightmares. Right, Randy? And hey, you know.
Well put.
I think so. We all have that point, buddy. We all have that point of reference. But what I want to tell you, one of the dreams he had was the Wounded Blue. He is the founder of the Wounded Blue, and it's a vision that Randy had for some time. Because there's nothing more important to him when he wakes up in the morning about helping his fellow law enforcement officers, the men and women on the front lines. This is what this man lives. It's the brand of cereal he eats in the morning. You understand, people. You know, it's who he is. And so we'll talk to you about that as well and what the Wounded Blue is up to. But let me welcome on Lieutenant Sutton, and we'll call him Randy here. And Randy, so let me talk to you about where we find ourselves right now. And here's where I want to go first is, all right, we're dealing with a national crisis of the types that, you know, we've had these challenges before as a nation. I've been reminding our listeners that, you know, America has faced some perilous times prior, and we've gotten through them, and we've gotten through them a stronger, actually, Randy. On the other side of the hurdle, we can actually be a stronger America. But let's talk about fear right now and the law enforcement community, how they're dealing with something like this COVID-19, and it's such a contagious disease, how they're dealing with it and what your thoughts are about the men and women who serve.
This is a time that I don't think has ever been faced in history by the American law enforcement officer. And I tell you, Malcolm, there is this is uncharted territory. First of all, we have, you know, less than a million police officers to police this entire country. About between 850 and 900,000. To police, you know, what, 320 million people? Now we have a pandemic. And who's on the front line? Who cannot turn away from interactions with other people? And that's the American law enforcement officer. We're seeing it devastating some police departments. Detroit Police Department, their chief is infected. Upwards of 35% of their department is infected. Three of their officers have died. New York City, literally the day, the numbers change every day. Day before yesterday, it was 750 tested positive. One died as a result. Big towns, small towns, everybody is facing this together. Now, there's so many other issues at play here that people don't think about. So not only do you have the normal law enforcement function that you have to do, you know, you're answering your calls for service, your emergency calls, your 911s, your domestic disputes, which I have a feeling are on the rise due to the close proximity of people staying together. But then you also have the possibilities of every one of those encounters becoming potentially fatal, not from the normal law enforcement function, but from a disease. And then you have laws being enacted or edicts being issued by mayors and governors and city council people ordering lockdowns, people to stay in their homes, businesses to close. Well, who do you think is enforcing that? And that is, of course, the police. So now you're thrusting cops into even more uncharted territory where they are enforcing things which may not even be legal, Malcolm. You know, there are some you know, governors that are, you know, ordering their cops to keep people in their homes. This places them in extraordinary danger, not just from the physical dangers, but listen, what's happened with legitimate uses of force? We've seen police agencies like New York turn on their own cops and prosecute them. So now we're thrusting these cops into even more dangerous territory, and it's going to lead to violence. People are going to resist. People are going to get in physical and armed confrontations with the police, and it's going to end badly. So my concern is not only for the physical and the medical safety, but it's also for the safety, the legal safety for these men and women.
Yeah, no, you're spot on true there, buddy. Spot on true. You know, there's been over the last many years through the previous administration, through Ferguson, I think it can be lost on nobody that there has been a war on the American cop. Randy's been on the front lines trying to change that, as well as many others. And we've always had a strong presence of law enforcement and the United States military on America Out Loud. I mean, these are our heroes, after all, people. And if we can't hold them up in a light, then who can we, really and truly? Randy points out some interesting things there. And Randy, your point of reference about what they're putting up on the front lines was beautifully said, because but it reminds me of this war of cops that's been going on that really came to a climax through the Obama administration with Ferguson, where there was a lack of respect, and they were teaching the young people how to be more and more disrespectful to the men and women. We've seen those videos in the cops up in New York at the NYPD throwing water and substances at the police. And there became this narrative, this national narrative, that it was okay to mistreat those people. And the kids were seeing it, and it was really a sad day that many of us looked around and said, wow, we're losing it here. We're losing the rule of law. With what you say right now with COVID-19 and what the men and women on the front lines are, you know, they continue to put their lives at risk. Randy, this is a special breed of people. People that are in law enforcement. These are not normal, regular people, are they?
Well, most of the men and women that take on the job of a law enforcement officer are highly dedicated. They don't do it for the money, because I can tell you that, you know, and many people are unaware of this, but the average wage for a police officer in some states, I've had officers die in the line of duty who were getting paid $9.28 an hour. I had a conversation with a police captain from up in Indiana just a short while ago, and he's been a cop for 25 years. He's making $38,000 a year. We're not talking about people that are in this for the money. They're in it because they believe in something greater than themselves. They believe that they are, excuse me, they are playing a role that makes this country stronger. They're playing a role that protects people. And it is something inherent in them that causes them to go out and seek this job. One of the downfalls of what you just mentioned about the lack of respect and the narrative that came out under the Obama administration is it has severely affected recruitment all over the country. It's now down 60%.
Wow.
And this will have long and far reaching consequences as time goes by. It is already having the serious consequences now because when you have a lack of candidates that want to take the job, you have to lower the standards for those. And that's happening in various parts of the country. So it's luckily, there's still men and women out there that are willing to take on all the responsibility and take on all the negativity in order to do something that is probably one of the most important jobs in America.
And
one of the things that I'm, I can't believe it's been 4 years since you and I, began this journey on America Out Loud. I mean, you gave me the opportunity to bring a voice. I mean, Blue Lives Radio is the voice of American law enforcement. And because of this platform, hundreds of thousands of Americans are getting exposure to something that they normally would not. And that is the truth about the American law enforcement officer. So, on my personal behalf, I want to thank you for giving me that opportunity. It's been a quick 4 years, buddy. Been a quick 4 years.
It has. It's hard to believe it's been 4 years, April 2016. And yeah, you were there at that very first moment. Let me tell all of our listeners now, Randy, that one of the reasons we did America Out Loud was because of Randy. And I'll tell you, Randy, let me tell you a quick story. I want to tell listeners real fast. I had left the corporate world back then, Randy. I spent 25 years in corporate boardrooms. And then what happened is when I left there and I got into this radio world, I'd had a blog, Randy, called Out Loud America. And it was just a blog. It was nothing fancy. It was just a site that people would sometimes post something on. I never thought anything about it. And some of the radio hosts when I was on as an opinion commentator guy, they would say the words, and they would say America Out Loud accidentally, and when it was really Out Loud America. And we had this website that was Out Loud America, but it was nothing going to become nothing. It was really just a side thing. And I was, doing these national spots for people, trying to rail against the political establishment and the Obama mandate that I did not like or did not care for. And I recall that we ended up accidentally finding that the name needed to be America Out Loud. We needed to make a change. And I took that old blog, and we ended up securing and trademarking America Out Loud. We did it as an alias, and we put Out Loud America as an alias to America Out Loud because a lot of the hosts were accidentally calling us that on the shows. And it was an accident, in other words, that became a purpose. And at that time, I was talking to you, and we wanted to get a voice together. You were really passionate about getting something out there for Blue Lives. And I think we made the decision strategically, and you said, and that's why I got with my radio manager and we started to create the network, and you were really the first voice on here with me and with a handful of people that started with us from day one. And so we will always be connected in that way, in a unique way. Randy, we're dealing with some challenging times right now with all of this. And when you put it out there moments ago really well, when you talked about the spirit of the law enforcement community, and you talked about some of the stuff might even be unlawful, the way mayors and governors and others are mandating how you live your life and what you do. And I think you said it well. I'm sure that wasn't lost from our listeners who probably do believe it's unlawful. Now, many people believe or they try to believe it's for the greater good, so they go along or get along.
No one doesn't know someone who has been thrust into unemployment. Las Vegas, where I live, is virtually shut down.
It's a service community out there.
It is. I think we were one of the hardest hit because one of the biggest employers in this state are the hotel industry. Well, there is no more. I mean, it's everybody's been furloughed. All of the workers who are anything related to tourism are now unemployed. And this is a frightening time. These people, they've never been unemployed in their entire lives. And now suddenly their future is up in the air. And no one knows where this is going to go, Malcolm. We don't know how long this is going to last. We don't know what the final results are going to be. And as a result, you have fear. Fear is a very damaging thought process, and it can lead to a lot of negative stuff. I mean, we're talking, I mean, let me, I mean, from my own point of view, I mean, I have seen civil unrest. I was there during the Rodney King riots. I was there during several other incidences of civil unrest. And I got to tell you, Malcolm, it is the most frightening thing you can see when a mob mentality takes place. And we are not that far from a flashpoint. And this is very concerning to me. And so, you know, I understand that the government has a responsibility to keep people safe. That's the number one job of a government, is to keep their people safe. But you have this huge disparity in edicts and orders and executive orders and governors saying this and governors saying that and senators saying this. It's confusing. So, you know, there's...
Well, they've been trying to force the president, Randy, to do martial law. They're trying to force the president to do the Defense Act. You know, what's ironic, Randy, is that they've spent 3.5 years bitching about what a dictator he is and what a king he's going to be. And these are the same cats that are asking and begging the president to do all of that stuff, and the president refuses to do it.
Oh, I know. And I'm telling you, what I've seen in Nevada, you know, the high-handedness of the elected officials issuing these edicts and it's literally at the wave of a pen who works and who doesn't work, and I'm seeing some tremendous unfairness, mm-hmm. and this is going to lead to, I mean, when people feel they are wronged. This is Bunker Hill. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
There is just so much danger here that if our government, our governors and government don't act fairly across the board, this is going to lead to some serious issues.
Well, the reason is power defines the man, doesn't it, Randy?
Well,
and
yes,
it defines the kind of person you are.
Yes, and absolute power. I hate to say it, I hate to be cliche, but, you know, that old adage is correct. And, you know, I have seen misuse of power, at the levels of being a law enforcement officer. And that in and of itself is frightening. Then you see misuse of power at a high governmental level. And even if it's, you know, even if they feel that what they're doing is right, if the perception is that it is unfair, then that becomes the reality.
Well, you know, I told you earlier, friends, what to do with fear. And you got to put faith back with fear. And as we're talking about here, we got to get to the other side of the hurdle. You're listening there, friends, to the voice of Lieutenant Randy Sutton. Now, Randy is, it's hard to put it into context. He is a blessing in every sense of the word. He understands the parallels here of life. A very unique person. The Wounded Blue, I want to encourage you to go to thewoundedblue.org. Randy's the founder of this. It's been his life vision to do this, and it's to support injured and disabled officers and their families, a peer support, if you will. They have a whole program there helping those who are physically and psychologically that need help, and which plays into the whole fear factor we're talking about. So there's also a very unique movie on Amazon, The Wounded Blue. It's a documentary. It's fabulous. Please find out more about that. The Wounded Blue. I play the commercial on the network we play here at America Out Loud for The Wounded Blue. Bottom line is Lieutenant Randy Sutton is a blessing here to this network and to America Out Loud. To me personally, he is a dear, dear friend. It's hard to put it any other way to you all out there. And I think he knows he means the world to me. If he doesn't, he now knows. And I think his contributions here in the law enforcement community have been truly unparalleled and a complete blessing that we can bring this word to people. But that's what it is here, friends. That's what we're all about here at America Out Loud. It's what the whole movement is about. I say there, you know, news needs to deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher. What I call the out loud truth. And, you know, I know Randy uses that phrase from time to time as well. And we must continue the path forward. It's a grassroots movement is who we are here. And we will continue to take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations for mankind and for this great country of who we are here. So on this 4-year anniversary, I invite you to get involved in the network and be part of something unique. It is a movement, again, of amazing people, really globally, that have come together. I mean, the point is America is a shining city on a hill. It's a beacon of light and hope for so many. So that's how we need to conquer fear, people. We're also going to do it next with an amazing woman is coming up next. We're going to talk about love. I told you 3 4-letter words we're going to talk about today, hope, fear, and love. And this person has also been a blessing to the network, and you'll hear her voice in just a moment. You know her well. Stay right there, friends, as we continue on with the Voice of the Nation.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all 4 stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free 2-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthycell.com/sleep.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little love. What the world needs now.
Well, that song, let me tell you about that first briefly. That was 1965, that song, by the way. And again, Jackie DeShannon sung it. Now, there were others that recorded it afterward. You might remember the version from Dionne Warwick. Remember Dionne Warwick? And that was, she sung a version of that. In fact, interestingly enough, I didn't know this. She was initially offered the song, Dionne Warwick was, but had refused it initially. Ended up coming back singing it years later after it became a mega hit from Jackie DeShannon. Isn't that funny how sometimes a decision we make in our lives can come back to challenge us a little bit later, huh? The lyrics of that song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Right? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Let me bring on here now a great voice to the network, the program, a dear friend of mine that you'll know here is Ava Armstrong, joins us here. And Ava is a political commentator here on the network. She's really become a very terrific, dynamic radio personality. She is a fantastic author. I tell you about that all the time. And I know many of you do get her books, and you need to do it if you haven't. Go to the America Out Loud bookstore or Amazon. I mean, it doesn't matter. Just get there and do the books. We have an amazing bookstore. You can get that off the nav bar at AmericaOutloud.com, as I tell you all the time. We created the bookstore for our experts because we had such fabulous authors and people. I wanted to help showcase their talent. So there's no money involved with our end. It's just a way for me to give back to our beautiful people, our experts, and the people you hear that grace this platform all the time. That's all it was. And so Ava's books are all there on the platform, and people buy them because we get the reports in from Amazon. This is all connected to Amazon, by the way, our bookstore. But anyways, visit there and get her books, and it's worthy of that. And it's important to tell you that at our 4-year anniversary that you visit that bookstore and celebrate and support these beautiful, amazing people. But Ava, you've been here from pretty early on of the network with me. We've had good times and bad times and interesting times as a nation, challenging times for sure. We're in one now, which we'll talk about here. But I want to talk to you about love today. There are 3 4-letter words I've addressed in today's program: hope, fear, and love. We've had Dr. Jay Lair on. We've had Lieutenant Randy Sutton, and now yourself to help me bring a message of hope and love and replace fear with faith is my real overarching message to people. But let me read you this, Ava, and let me have you comment on this. In the lyrics in that song from Jackie DeShannon in the second round of lyrics there, it says here this, Ava, and comment on this. She says, "Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love." And so she goes on. But the lyrics of that song are amazing when she's calling out to God and saying, "Oh, we don't need another mountain right now, but yet we have a mountain right in front of us, don't we?"
I love that. I really love that song. It was one of my mom's favorites, actually. It's funny that you were talking about that. I write about love. That's what all of my novels have at the very center of them, is a loving relationship. And love overcomes everything. That's always been my belief anyways.
It does. And right now, what like Jackie put out there back 65, what the world needs now. And as we look at where people are right now in all of this, I've been sharing a very special message with listeners about where we find ourselves right now, Ava, the plight America finds itself on. But in a lot of ways, this is an opportunity. It's an opportune moment for the country, because right now, as I've pointed out now, you've got this pandemic, which is really, you've got governors, mayors, city council people, you know, doing laws by edict and pushing their brand of, well, you know what's kind of really weird, Ava, is they were preaching, I've been telling folks, they've been preaching that Trump was a dictator and a king and would do all of that. And yet it's those same people that are pushing the president to do the National Defense Act and to do martial law and close the whole country beyond that. Those are the same people preaching that. And isn't it odd or sad that these are the people who also want a brand of socialism or communism for America? There's a lesson there, don't you think, Ava?
Oh, a big lesson. I think it's very interesting to look at who are we dependent upon right now. We're dependent upon a lot of people who the leftists despise, really. Pharmaceuticals. We're dependent on nurses, doctors, Walmart employees, military. They sent 2 naval ships. The National Guard, again, a form of military. These are all things that, you know, you will hear the late night news, you know, despise these people.
What's the weirdest thing you have going on right now that people are telling you? How are people panicked at the moment? What's your sense?
I'm really saddened that, especially by social media, that many people think this is a hoax. They don't believe it's real. And that's the result of our real news, you know, all of the news organizations falling apart. Basically, that's my attitude about
it. But do people, now hold on a minute here. So you believe in your heart. Now, what you're saying is important. You're in essence really believe that a lot of people believe within these worlds of social media and otherwise, that they really believe that there's no pen, this is not really happening, that it's a total hoax?
Exactly. I mean, people are actually going to hospitals and filming the parking lot and filming the, you know, admitting area or whatever you call it, the entrance.
Yeah.
And they post that on social media. These are people in New York and different places. And they write underneath it that, you know, this is all made up. It's a hoax. It's nobody there. And I mean, I'm in touch with a lot of professionals who are actually in this battle. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, it's real. It's very real.
Ava, do those people, do you think they believe it's not real, or are they doing that just to get a rise out of people?
I really don't know. I think they believe what they're doing. I mean, why would you go film an entrance to a hospital and put it up on Twitter and
to get more likes and followers, which is what they all want.
I guess.
Right.
But that saddens me. It saddens me, though.
You think they really believe it, though, that they're eating the Wheaties?
Oh, I do. Yeah. Sadly. Wow. Yeah, I do.
So what's happened psychologically then, you're saying that the media, this fourth estate we talk about all the time, which has really dropped the ball in a significant way. It's actually one of the biggest stories to come out of all of this, and how they bang up the president on a day-by-day basis. But more than that, they bang up America and a belief system. People have kind of, you're saying they've tuned them out and they really don't believe it. And because the media is pushing a 24/7 sky is falling propaganda over the top pandemic situation, that those people believe that they're up to no good? Is that what's happening?
Yes, I think we've so lost faith in the media.
Wow.
That this is what it now is. The media is really Twitter. I mean, you know, it
and
sounds
Facebook.
Crazy, but yeah, and Facebook and, you know, Instagram probably, but I'm just saying that's what I'm seeing. And sometimes I put out a tweet or something and other people will kind of disrespect it because they think the tweet is, it's not real. It's not true. So I'm putting out facts, but you know.
Yeah, a lot of people are really getting their news from these places though, Ava. They don't look at anything else.
True, true. That's why America Out Loud is so important. And I'm so pleased to be on the fourth anniversary show, because what you're doing is exactly what we need. We need to have the Out Loud truth and unvarnished truth, you know.
Right. Well, and, you know, as I told folks earlier, the truth sometimes, you can't sugarcoat the truth. Sometimes it hurts, Ava, you know?
Definitely. Painful. Definitely. It does. Yes.
But it's better to know what we're up against and to be able to prepare and plan accordingly, and not to be extremists or lunatics. That's not, and you're not that either. You're never that. I mean, you get the big picture of all this, so you truly understand. But bringing it back to love right now, and, you know, I've been listening to the president in recent days, and every time the moment comes up of respirators or, you know, mask or equipment, medications, pharmaceuticals, the president tends to sometimes, in a very unique way, pivot to humanity. And I love the way he does that. I've picked up on it every time he does it, because there's not many who do that. And I do it because I get it. What the president does is he steps back at 35,000 feet and looks at everything. I really applaud him for that, because that's what I do in my life. I think you know that about me, Ava, and I hope listeners mm-hmm. know that, but that's what I always do. And I've noticed President Trump doing that in recent days. But my sense is, Ava, is this. The media has painted a picture of a man who's a dictator and or a king, who doesn't like people, who but hates everybody and hates humanity. And I will suggest to you right now, and I want every listener to hear these words, please, that I say. The narrative that America has been fed and the world is being fed could not be farther from the truth. It is so far from the truth of reality. As I just pointed out to you moments ago, the people and the far left extremists and the media talking head turds that have been pushing this thing about, he's a dictator, he's a king, he acts like he's above it all, he thinks this, he thinks that, have been the people pushing a narrative that they want him to declare martial law, and they want him to use the Defense Act to mandate and demand by law that companies do what he says, how he says it, and how he does it, and to close everything, close state lines, and run this as a military camp. And the president has refused to do that and has negated their vision and their view of what they think the world is and fighting it back. So there's that presence that I think is very, should not be lost on anybody. And I've tried to drive that point home in a very efficient way here. But Ava, there's also the point of love. In a narrative that they push, that the man is a hate monger, and he doesn't like people, and he despises Hispanics and blacks and women, and he's a despicable human being. And why would this despicable character run for president? And there are people who really believe that. It's the brand of cornflakes they eat. The media has been pushing that narrative, and yet you see a man here, every chance he can. He talks about love. He talks about humanity. He talks about helping people. You can see he is the kind of man who wears his heart on his sleeve when it really matters. So what I would say to you, what I would implore people to really look at is the evidence. There are two major points I've just made, Ava, that describe a different president and a different premise here than what people have put out. What do you say to all that, please?
Oh, I think the true measure of a man is what his children think of him. And if you look at Donald Trump as just citizen Trump for a second, he's surrounded by children that he's given to this world, and they love him and they're dedicated to him and they speak so lovingly about their father. All of them do, which I think is marvelous. I voted for Trump. And it was on a wing and a prayer when I voted for him. I didn't know him intimately, or, you know, I didn't know every little detail about his personality. But I voted for him with hope. And by golly, I'll tell you what, he's really exceeded every expectation I ever had.
Ava, do you think that God has Donald Trump here for a moment in time, a purpose?
I truly do believe that. I really do. And it's the sequence of events that have happened since he was elected. I don't think any other man could have withstood this kind of barrage. I mean, constant barrage. And he's standing there still, strong. And he's fighting for the right things. I mean, for example, you just said about, you know, what he should do, with, you know, he was going to be a dictator, blah, blah, right? Donald Trump is one of the most constitutional conservatives I've ever seen for a president. So, I mean, we're so fortunate to have him there. And he's working with the governors, and he's doing all the things that a good president would do.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so well said. Listen, let's talk about 40 years. It's been a four-year moment of time for America Out Loud. I shared with folks in one of the earlier programs a little bit about the early story. It really was an accident that started. But it's become a gathering place, a meeting place, if you will, for very unique people that are on a mission, unique voices, unique writers, unique talents. But all people who are connected with passion and love for humanity and for the American spirit, which we so love and adore here, and what we talk about in such a vision in a way, I've been blessed to carry the mission forward. I never lose sight of it, honest to God. It's what makes me go every day, no matter what the trials or tribulations of the moment are or the panic. I always feel blessed, as I do the people I get to play with. Here, but it is a unique environment. And Ava, you've heard me reference this so many times as a grassroots movement. I look at us as we're not a conglomerate or owned by corporate deep pockets and wherewithal and people. We are a family and people of love, and we are a grassroots movement of a bigger, better word. And, you know, I can't say it any better than what I wrote 4 years ago on the top of AmericaOutloud.com. That here we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. Because if we don't do it, Ava, who's going to do it?
Exactly. And I think this is the future of media. I think what you're doing is truly the future. It won't be big conglomerates. It will be individual people who stand up and get together and form a union.
Yeah. Well, I also say we the people take it back, right?
Exactly. That's what it's about.
We are we the people, Ava. I mean, that's who we are. You, I, Dr. Jay Lehrer, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, Arnetta Nakin, you know, all the people on the platform here, Dr. Ron, Linda, Ilana Friedman, Dennis Santiago. There are so many amazing people here. Colonel Jim Warshaw. It's on and on and on.
I really feel like I'm at home when I'm on here, because all of the people that are in America Out Loud are contributing to it. They're people that I greatly admire, for one thing. And the other thing that's really cool about them is they all love America and they all want to see America succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Friends, that is the voice of my dear friend and partner here. Have much love for all of the three people you've heard today. Ava Armstrong, Dr. Jay Lehrer, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, who was here day one. And they're tremendous talents and voices, and truly we are blessed. There's no two ways to look at it here. Listen, I thank you for being part of this journey. I do it every time I'm on. I never lose sight of that. I never lose sight of the value of your time and the importance of your time. I never try to belittle that. I never ask you to waste your time. Time is precious. So when I thank you for being part of the journey, that's what I mean by that. And when I say it's time to get involved and get loud, I mean that the time is now. If it's not us, then who will it be? That really is my overarching message. I'm blessed here by this. We're on a godly mission. We are fighting the good fight. I'm blessed by God here to have this fight and the pleasure. But I've known this all my life. I fight the forces of evil every day. It's our mission here. And friends, as we do that, just remember the words that Jackie DeShannon sings there. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's time to get involved and get loud.
Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you want to know. Song.